If you could just understand, it would be so wonderful, so wonderful. I want to read just a little bit from over in Micah. We've read this before. Sometimes the Lord will give me the same things to read. Sometimes He doesn't. But He has reasons for this. And tonight, I'd like to read from the book of Micah. Maybe you've heard it before, maybe you haven't. But reading at the third chapter, the first verse. You know, I appreciate little Bethlehem, and I appreciate David, and I appreciate the brethren. Appreciate Brother Leon Wilson, Brother Terrell, all the others that are helping in the gospel around the world. Thank God for what little I can do. But I appreciate Bethlehem. And I know that people call the lights, as they call it, into question. Whereas I don't see anything to be called into question, but nevertheless, they do. It's just strange how people strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, and they'll decorate their house with everything from, whatever they can find to I don't know what for Santa Claus, you know. But for Jesus, they feel like you're getting out of order. And I was just thinking today, was talking, and I made a little comment. If they think that this is colorful, you wait until they get one glimpse of the throne of God. Just one glimpse of the throne of God and the beautiful rainbow round about that throne and the jewel city and the conglomeration of color that will fill that city. It will be so astounding and so magnificent as the glory of God radiates in the beautiful stones of topaz and ruby and diamond and all of the other beautiful things. It'll be a sight like you've never seen in your life. Now somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, now that'll be art because that's heaven. The Bible says, as in heaven, so on earth. Hallelujah. It's all right in the earth too. Did you know that? John said, they said, glory to God in heaven, but it's all right for me to say glory to God on earth. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. It's all right down here too. So then, we are they that dwell in heaven, so it's all right for us. But I praise God for His wonderful blessings. The trouble with the world today, the church world, is that they are allowing the world to make everything beautiful and glorious out yonder for Santa Claus and for the devil, and it is drawing everybody to it. Out in Las Vegas, everything is beautiful, so it draws everybody to it. But the devil, he'll get into the people and he'll say, now don't do anything for God. Don't do anything for God. Getting out of order. He'd love to do that, wouldn't he? He'd love to do that. In other words, he'd love to do that. That's just like having a neighbor over here, you know, and that neighbor, he rides in a great big limousine. He said, now don't you do that. Don't you do that. You're out of order. You're out of order. So what should I do? Well, give your money to me. Give your money to me. You know, it's all right for me to ride a limousine, but don't you do that. But you know, I'm glad I don't think like that. Glory to God, the devil can say, don't put up a pretty light, or don't put down carpet, or don't do anything for God. It don't mean a thing when he says it. If he wants to leave off with it, let him leave off with it out there. I like it over here. I like to do it. The Bible said everybody run to their own house and let the house of God lay waste. Don't do nothing for the house of God. Make my house pretty. But I'll tell you what, I believe in making God's house pretty. Let your house go liking. Make God's house pretty. All right, hang the chandeliers in God's house. Get them out of the governor's mansion. Get them out of the president's palace. If they're so wrong, they don't need them up there. They need to get down in the candlelight. Do like Roosevelt did when he went down to the little White House. Hang them in God's palace. That's where they ought to be. All right. The third chapter, the first verse, the book of Micah. And I said here, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh without the cauldron? Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore night shall be unto you that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob, and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and prefer all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become a heap, and the mountains of the house as the high places of the forest. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, I will assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And thou, tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Even the first dominion, the kingdom, shall come to thee, daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. Thou shalt be delivered. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemy. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, Let her be defiled, and let her eyes look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as his sheaves into the floor. Arise and thrash, O daughter of Zion. For I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. I want to talk to you just a little bit, if I can. If I take too long, you just have to pray for me, because I'm not going to try to. I don't choose my scriptures. I don't choose what I'm going to say. I don't know where I'm going to read from, and I just come up here, and the Lord speaks to me, and he tells me what he wants me to say, and he tells me what he wants me to do. And I, Brother Bill, along with all the rest, do exceedingly fear and tremble. Moses said the sight was so great that I did exceedingly fear and tremble. And here at little Bethlehem, I do exceedingly fear and tremble because I realize that I am but a mortal man. And I realize the greatness of God is at Bethlehem and the greatness of God is among His people. I know that it is. And I do exceedingly fear and I do tremble as the sight was so great, Moses said, though he was such a great and mighty prophet, yet he did exceedingly fear and he did tremble. The sight was so great that the voice spoke and said, even if as much as a hair comes near this mountain, he shall be smitten. You know, even as much as a little animal approaching the mountain, God said, if he comes near it, I will smite him. And the mountain did exceedingly break forth, burst forth, and burned with fire. And the sight was so magnificent that Israel moved away off, far back, because they were afraid of the great wrath of the Almighty God. And you know, tonight, here we stand in the presence of Almighty God. And here the grace of God coming through Jesus Christ is the only thing, beloved friend, that actually keeps God from breaking forth on us and consuming us. He said, Moses, if they come near this mountain, I will break forth on them and consume them, for I am a consuming fire. And here the Almighty God that cannot look upon iniquity, that cannot have anything to do with wrong, would just in one moment break forth on us and literally just sweep over us, sap us up just like the dust of the earth, and we'd be gone. But the grace of God has held the great consuming fire back. Hallelujah. Moses said, if you're going to do away with anybody, blot my name out and have mercy on them. And so it is that God, rather than blotting Moses' name out, one day made him a body of his own. And Jesus stood and said, Father, what Moses could not do, I will do. And he went down. And God gave his only begotten Son to stand between you and I, or him and me, or as God would have it, between you and I, God within his temple, to stand between us, that he might not break forth on us or on the earth with a great consummation. Oh, how glad we ought to be tonight. How fearful we ought to be tonight in the sense of reverence to God, for to enter into his sanctuary with thanksgiving, coming into his gates with praise, a heart of praise, a mind of thanksgiving. I marvel when I look at you. Many times when I come on the sacred desk, up to the sacred desk and on the platform, I literally marvel when I pick up so many spirits and so many frames of mind. And I say within myself, my God, that can't be. Lord, as many things that I've said, as many times I have warned the people, it cannot be possible that them people that I'm picking up, their spirit would come in this place with that kind of frame of mind and be so carnal. Surely, God, they would not dare to do that, but yet they do it. Oh, how merciful God is, how long-suffering God is. I'm so thankful for God tonight that he is merciful. I plead with God day and night. Moses pleaded on the mountain. He begged God not to break forth on the people. And Samuel prayed for the people. And I prayed for the people. I prayed to God, Father, don't break forth on the people of little Bethlehem. God, don't get upset with the people of little Bethlehem. But God, be merciful to me. And God, be merciful to the people of little Bethlehem. For God, they do things. Many of them do things that a fool wouldn't do. God, yet knowing the things that they know and having been told the things that they've been told, and yet they still do those things and wax bold in those things and go forth and do those things. And I say, my God, be merciful, God. But oh, let me tell you, folks, it's one thing for a man and a woman to sin that don't know any better. It's one thing for a man and a woman to do wrong that don't know any better. But when you come to the place to where you know God, and you know better than to do the thing that you're doing, and you understand God, and you understand the knowledge of God, woe be unto you when you get to that place. Because there is no blood atonement, there is nothing that can keep God from breaking forth on you. When you don't know, God looks upon you in mercy because you're ignorant. It's not required of you to that extent. The Bible said that servant that knew not to do his Lord's will, he'll be beaten with stripes. Those that don't know the Lord's will, those that are out in sin, and they don't know the Lord's will, they're not going to get by. They'll be beaten with stripes. But brethren, they'll be beaten with few stripes. God will be merciful to them because they don't know. They'll run into trouble. But God will be merciful to them because they don't know any better. But he said, that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. You cannot deny tonight that you know to do the Lord's will. There's not a person in here tonight, Brother Bill, that can say that they don't know God's will. They know God's will. One might not know it as well as another. But they know God's will tonight. You know God's will tonight. And you know the things that you ought to do. And the Bible said that servant that committed things worthy of stripes, he shall be beaten with many stripes. How is it then tonight, beloved friend, that you can take the outlook that you take and do the things that you do and take the chances you take with your soul and take a chance with the life of your loved ones the way that you do? How do you dare do it? How can you do it? Oh, I tell you, it is so wonderful to be a Christian. It is so wonderful to believe in God. It's so wonderful to feel the wonderful things of God. Tonight, I read to you from the book of Micah. I read to you where God told Israel, because you did the things that you did, you knew better than to do those things. And he said, because you did the things that you did, he said, I'm going to plow Jerusalem just like a field. Because you wouldn't listen, because you was disobedient, I'm going to plow Jerusalem just like you take a plow and put it in a field. And brethren, sisters in Christ, according to history, according to the Bible and what we can gather and put together and understand, there, according to the Bible, about 70 A.D., God sent Titus in, and the Bible said that he literally plowed Jerusalem like a field. Everything was torn up. And he stood there as a general and said, this has to be the hand of God. Said, I didn't intend to do this. Said, this great massacre and all of these things that have taken place. He said, I never intended to do this. I didn't have anything to do with it. Said, this has to be the hand of God. But God did it. He plowed Jerusalem like a field. Oh, glory to God. I'm glad I've got him on my side. I'm glad I got him on my side when I think about the power of the Almighty God and the things that God can do and will do. I say down inside, I say, oh God, be merciful to me. I'm so glad that you'll consider me, Jesus. Don't ever get upset at me. And I think about my wife and my children, my loved ones, and you people here at Bethlehem. And I say over and over, I say, oh Lord, be merciful to my people at Bethlehem. Lord, they don't understand. And a lot of times I can hear him speak back in essence as to say, they do understand. And I said, but Lord, be merciful. Give them a little longer. You know, like the man said, Father, let me dig around that tree just a little bit longer. And you can hear that voice as it comes sweeping down from heaven saying, cut down the tree. Why cumbereth it the ground if it won't bring forth fruit? And then you call back to God and you say, God, be merciful just a little bit longer. Give me just a little bit longer. Let me dig around the tree a little bit longer. Give it just a little more opportunity to bear fruit. And then if it don't bear fruit, then Lord, you can cut it down. But oh, let me tell you something. When God sends the preacher, all of a sudden, though the pastor might plead, though the man of God might plead, though the different ones might plead, one day God will speak. And he'll speak out of heaven and he won't hear anymore. Like he said to Samuel concerning Saul. And he'll say, lay the axe to the root of the tree. Lay it to the root of the tree. Just before he plowed Jerusalem like a field. He sent John, and John came out of the wilderness, and John preached the gospel, and John said the axe is laid to the root of the tree. God had warned Israel over and over. God had pleaded with Israel. God had asked Israel to do right. He said, John, lay the axe to the root of the tree. I'm going to cut it down. And oh, beloved friend, when John laid the axe to the root of the tree, God cut it down and plowed Jerusalem like a field. And I tell you tonight, we might go on and go on and go on and feel like everything's going to be all right. And God may let us by with this and let us by with that, and everything seemed to be all right. But after a while, God will get tired of it. God will get tired of it, and God will cry out, lay the axe to the root of the tree. And oh, when He cuts you down, you'll never be replanted. The Bible teaches that my Heavenly Father will pluck up every plant that He hath not planted. Every one that He hath not planted and rooted shall be plucked up. But ye that are planted by God, the Bible said, ye shall be like a tree that's planted by the water. Ye shall bring forth your fruit, and your seeds and your leaves shall not wither. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rooted and grounded in the things of God, planted by the rivers of life, drinking from the waters of the fountain that never runs dry, producing the fruits of the Spirit. Our leaves are for the healing of the nation. He said here, and in that day the house of the Lord shall be established, for it shall come to pass that the house of the Lord shall be established. I will establish the house of the Lord, He said. In the last days, I will establish the house of the Lord. I will establish it in the latter times, He said. For it shall come to pass in the latter times that the house of God shall be established. And He said, all nations shall flow up to it, and they shall say one to another, let us go up to the house of the Lord. For the house of the Lord shall be a glorious thing, shall be a beautiful thing. But oh, let me tell you something, friend. If you have the feeling that it's going to be some charismatic order, some kind of praises where people don't live a Christian life, you're all mixed up. God isn't going to establish the house of God with any such corruption as that. Do you believe that God, the God of heaven, would come down in the midst of a people and dwell in the midst of the people just because they're saying hallelujah and glory to God and praising God and singing? Do you think God would do that? Come down and dwell in the midst of those people when those people are filled with corruption? God is going to do that. God is going to do that. The Bible said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Amen. The ungodly and the sinner. I want you to know that there is no place in heaven for those people. There is no place in God's world for those people. God said, I am angry with the wicked every day, and I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. I want you to know something tonight, that God is going to cause them to perish from off of this earth right here. God has no place in any part of His world for a charismatic order. They may praise God, they may holler, they may skip, they may jump. But I want my people here to know, and those that can hear my voice to know, that God is not in their arrangement. God hath no part with them. And when the Bible said it shall be so close that it would deceive the very elect if possible, then, brother, He's speaking of the charismatic order. For that is the very thing that Satan is going to get his hooks into and use to try to overthrow the world with. You say, do you really believe that, Brother Pike? I believe that. I know that that's true. I know that that's true. Don't you understand tonight that it would be a lot more profitable for me to take the outlook to be charismatic? Think of what I could do tonight if I was charismatic. Think of what I could have done down through the years if I'd have just compromised and been charismatic. How that I could have swept the world with hundreds of thousands of people everywhere. But oh, let me tell you, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want any part of the satanic things of this world. I don't have any interest in the materialistic values of this world. I intend to go to heaven. And the only way that I can do that is to live according to godliness. I've got to preach according to godliness. And I've got to live according to godliness. And if I ever intend to make it into the kingdom of God, that's the only way that I'll ever get in. I want my people at Bethlehem to be holy people, godly people. I want them to be filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit of God. And when God is working in the midst, I want it to be something that is genuinely real to come from God. I don't want to make shift. I don't want to make believe. I don't want something to substitute for the real thing that God has for us. God said, I will establish the house of the Lord in the last days. You know, we get the idea that we've got to do something. We get the idea that we've got to do something. Somebody says, the church is drying up, Brother Pike. Oh, we've got to have a program. We've got to get together. We've got to do something. The church is getting in bad shape. Maybe we need a football team. Maybe we need a basketball team. Maybe we need a program. Maybe we need some suppers. Maybe we need some protracted meetings. You know, that was a very problem that Israel had. Isn't that right? Israel had the very same problem. They always felt like they had to do something to help the Ark of the Covenant. And the thing that got Israel into trouble was when they put their hands on the Ark of the Covenant and felt like they had to give God a helping hand with what God was doing. When God said that He would establish the house of the Lord in the last days, He doesn't need a bunch of charismatics to help Him. There isn't anything wrong with God's program. God isn't weak. God isn't contemptible. God doesn't need a bunch of businessmen to throw in their dollars and pennies. Amen. Amen. You're not going to get them to throw in many dollars anyway. If it's going to take something away from them, it's always going to be the widows, always going to be those that's perishing with hunger, that scrapes together a nickel or a dime to give to God. The world isn't going to invest in anything unless it's something that's going to give them a great return. That's why that they invest in a lot of these great evangelists. Some of these great evangelists have healing campaigns, and when you go into the meeting, you buy a ticket to get in. It costs you so much to get in. That's how they have a lot of these great meetings. They invite this church and that church and this denomination. All of them get together. And they have an agreement that because this man's got 500 and this one's got 300 and that one's got 200, all of them's coming together for a great union meeting. And they're going to gather dollars, every dollar that they can get a hold of. And the man that's got 300, they're going to give him so many dollars. And the man that's got 500, they're going to give him so many dollars. And all divided up. They have a great thing that looks like something in the sight of God when there's nothing to it at all. That's why the Bible said, fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. Hallelujah. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? God is doing something tonight. He doesn't need their money. He doesn't need their polished ethics, their education. God needs men and women tonight that will serve Him in the beauty of holiness. There's nothing wrong with God's program. God doesn't need something that's filled with evil, filled with corruption. When the Ark of the Covenant started to come into Jerusalem, been gone for a long time, David got excited, being the king. He sent out there, told him, said, go out there and meet it. Go out there and help it. See that nothing don't happen to it. Oh, but friend, let me tell you, I say again, God don't need you to help His covenant. Glory to God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. God doesn't need anybody to help His covenant. God can take care of it. You get over here and say, well, I think I better say a little something for Bethlehem because so many people are saying something against it. You know, it looks like it's going to make it look a little bit bad for Bethlehem. And I'm a pretty smooth operator and I'm a businessman and I got a little prestige and I better say something out here. God help your poor warped up, miserable, wretched way of thinking. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need you. Since when? Since when has God ever needed anybody to give him some prestige? Glory to God, he could step down here and put a dozen stars around his head and walk around and say, "Look at me," if he wanted to. Hallelujah. Walk down the street if he wanted to and have 15 lions walking behind him. The days of Noah, when he built the ark, what a sight it must have been. All those people back there mocking and making fun. Noah built that great big ark, and about the time he got that thing finished, looked out there and maybe thousands of animals coming from everywhere. Nobody with a leash on them. The great big roaring lions walking down to that ark, not trying to bother Noah, not trying to bother anybody. Great big wild elephants, giraffes, all kind of species of the earth come walking down there. Don't you know that must have been a shocking sight? People scrambling here, running there, hiding. Somebody saying, "My God, here comes the elephants, here comes the tigers, here comes the lions," and running for the bushes, trying to get away and everything else. And here they come marching in, just like a bunch of saints. Hallelujah. Big roaring lions, as harmless as little kittens, come purring down there, just walking out. It's a purring, you know, walking up there round Noah. Why, they knew God was in that man. They knew that God was with Noah. Hallelujah. Come up there, perhaps rubbing their noses on Noah, wanting to know which way was to go. Hallelujah. God's got somebody today that knows the way to go. If we'll just give God a chance, God will show us. But it's like Bob said tonight, if we won't pay attention, how in the world are we going to do anything for God? If we can't listen to God, if we can't pay any attention to God, if we can't pay any attention to the ministry. David said, "Go out there and give it a helping hand." Oh, brother, let me tell you, sometimes we can get to thinking too highly of ourselves. Oh, brother, David was a king. God respected David because David was a precious thing. But he went out there and put his hand on the Ark of the Covenant. That is, he sent people. When he did, God smote him. Smote him, and David shook. David got afraid. God, my God, David said, "Don't bring it in here." My, I don't know what we've done. I don't know what we've done. God's killing everybody. Don't bring it in Jerusalem. Leave it out there. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Glory to God, leave it out there. Don't bring it up here. David said, I'm scared half to death over the thing, so to speak. And after he left it out there a while, he saw God wasn't going to kill everybody. He got to thinking, well, maybe we've done a little something wrong. You know, we go up there and say, come on in, preacher. Glory to God, we know you're the boss. Somebody say, I love Jesus. We know you're the pastor. We'll do what you tell us. God kills about a half a dozen, and then here comes the next crew. And they say, come on in, brother preacher. We're glad to have you. Just tell us what you want us to do. Oh, you say they don't do it like that. Yes, they do. Come over there to Elijah, and they said, Elijah, the king wants you back down yonder. Elijah says, that's so. He wants you now. Elijah said, Lord, take care of these. Said, if I'm a man of God, said, let fire come down out of heaven and devour these. And the Bible said, the fire come down and they were gone. And here come another one. Wasn't long before they come out there and said, I don't know what happened to them folks back yonder, so to speak, but you need to get down there. The king don't like this delay. Elijah said, Father, here's some more. Hate to bother you again, but it was all gone. Brother, the next crew come out there, they said, you Elijah? Yeah, I'm Elijah. We don't want to do nothing wrong. Somebody said, now, Brother Park, you don't really believe that. I believe that as much as I believe I'm here tonight. Glory to God, they were shaking in their boots if they had on boots. They said, now, my Lord, and they fell down on their face and said, my Lord, glory to God, we had to come out here. We had to do this. The king said, you go out there, that's the way we get our bread and beans. But now, we done heard about this other thing happening. Would you please be merciful to us? Elijah said, all right. Let me tell you something, folks. Just because the man of God, just because God is merciful to us, that don't mean he couldn't break forth on us. Oh, I tell you tonight in the name of the Lord, God is merciful to you tonight. God can break forth tonight. Devour every one of us here tonight. But he's merciful. I sat down there and I heard them discuss that thing, pro and con. I heard men sit there like a bunch of kids, bringing a book up and saying, glory to God, bless God, such and such and such and such. I thought, blind God, straight in that swallow Campbell, God could kill every one of us. Sit here acting like we're somebody when we don't amount to a knot on the log. God could clean us all out. Said, if you hold your peace, I'm able to raise up children to Abraham from these rocks. And well, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm able to do it. You believe God's able to do it? I'm able to do it. God said, whenever I get ready, I can do it. Tonight, if he wants to. Kill every one of you, every one of you, every one of you, every one of you, and every one of you, including me. Glory to God, and then create a new batch and start all over again tonight. God can do it. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that God would do anything like that. I certainly do. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, God will kill people by the millions. That's why airplanes crash. That's why there's wrecks on the highways all over the world. That's why there's earthquakes. That's why there's wars and tornadoes and diseases. God's upset with the world. Hundreds and millions of people dying everywhere. One person find favor with God. Just one. That one person find favor with God. And God will let that person go on living. And pass through the midst of judgment that will kill a million more people. A million more. I've heard them come back from the battlefield and they'd say, Brother Pike, I know that God's got something for me. I'd say, why do you know that? They'd say, Brother, I've seen men with their guts blown out. I've seen their brains blown out. I've seen men torn all to pieces. I've walked right through the midst of it and God brought me through every bit of it. I know he cares for me. Are you seeking a proof of God tonight? Somebody said, glory to God, I want a proof of God. You know the kind of proof that you need of God is to get your crooked, wretched life straightened out and give God a chance to prove himself to be holiness in your life. You say, but Brother Pike, when I see such and such, you ain't never going to see such and such. When I see it, Brother Pike, I'll accept it, but you'll never see it. The Bible says you'll never see good. The wicked will never see good. When good comes, the wicked will never see it. The wicked will never get a look at it. You're blinded. You're waiting and seeking a proof of God. It'll pass through your midst and you'll never see it. Me and Daniel at the meeting talking about what they were going to see and what God was going to do. And they hadn't seen this and they hadn't seen that. And I said, Brother Branham said it passed right through your midst and you never see it. That really upset the apple cart. I mean, that really upset it. You know, when Jesus said what he did over there to the Pharisees and scribes, it really upset their apple cart. Did you know that? I mean, it really tore them up. Who are you to teach us? Or are you a bastard child, they said. Who are you to tell us what to do? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Why don't you know we're polished? Don't you know we're masters? We're doctors of divinity, got degrees. Well, who is this little upstart? Glory to God, who is he? What did I read tonight? And the Bible said the house of the Lord shall be established in the last days. All nations shall flow unto it. Who's the little upstart that's doing all the talking? And he said, Thou, O Bethlehem, thou, O Bethlehem. Hallelujah. He shall come out of thee, Bethlehem. And he shall be great even to the ends of the earth. All nations shall know about it. Out of thee, Bethlehem. Who is this little upstart? Where did he come from? Who is he? Where's his PhD degree? Well, I never heard about him. Who does he think he is anyway? Come over here trying to tell us doctors of divinity what we ought to do and ought not to do. Oh, friend, let me tell you tonight. God, the great, mighty God is here tonight. God of heaven and of earth. God is having his way in my life and your life tonight. That is those that will surrender to him. What are you doing tonight? What are you trying to do tonight? Are you making any efforts tonight? Are you trying to let God have his way? Oh, we could dance, we could shout, we could have a good time. Brother, sister, this is a good time to me. When I preach the gospel, when I tell men how to get right with God, when I tell them the things that they ought to do, that is the gospel to me. That's a good time. Hallelujah, that's a good time to me. What is a good time but going on with God? That is a good time. That's a good time when you go on with God. The charismatic shouting, hooping and hollering and ain't living nothing. I don't care how much a man dances, how much he shouts, how much he hoops, how much he hollers. The old time preachers used to say, I don't care how high he jumps, I just want to see him walk straight when he lands. That's the way they preached it. The old Brush Harbors, those that preach the gospel of Christ, when they start jumping, hollering, shouting, they'd say, glory to God, play on and let them shout. And then they'd get through, they'd say, brothers and sisters, glory to God, I don't care how much you shout, but I want you to get rid of this crooked living, and when you land, I want to see you walk right. That's the way it's supposed to be, folks. That's the way it's supposed to be. Jump as high as you want to, but when you land, land walking right. Land walking right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that we ought to do right, don't you? What is this about the house of God being established? Do we have to put our hands on the Ark of the Covenant? Do we have to go moping around and say, Lord of God, Brother Pius got bills and so, honey, I'm evangelist so-and-so. I tell you so-and-so, I just don't know. Lord of God, don't look like we ever get them bills paid. Seem like he owes something every week. Have you ever considered the same thing about that nice automobile you drive? Seem like you owe something every week for them light bills and for that tummy that you feed and the money that you spend. It seems like you can't never make enough. Go to work on Monday, work till Friday, get the paycheck, it's all gone. Go back to work on Monday, work till Friday, get the paycheck, and it's all gone. Go to work on Monday, come back on Friday, it's all still gone. Amen. You don't never give enough. Why is it you worry about the preacher spending a little money for the house of God? Can't we look around us? Can't we see it? Stone upon stone, brick upon brick, lights, everything. God's got to have those things too for his house. Got to do something. Lord of God, quit our mumbling, our grumbling, our finding fault, how sickening it is to God. Talking about mumbling and the grumbling and saying, well, I think brother so-and-so is so-and-so and so-and-so, you hypocrite. You need to get straightened out with God. Why is it you're always talking about your brother? Don't you know that you're the hypocrite? You're the one that's got everything. You're the one that don't share. The brother's already doing all that he can do. Why is it you find fault with him? When you do that against a weak brother, you so sin against God. I can't help but say it, you hypocrite. Why do you do that? Why is it you can't be a brother? Why is it you always moaning and grumbling and finding fault and gossiping and backbiting? Why is it some of you women always do that? Some of you widows always pitting yourself, always pitting yourself, always pitting yourself. Why don't you do something? Somebody offer you a little job and you can't do it.
I'm talking about the widows. How do you know what I'm talking about tonight? Somebody said, oh, don't say nothing about the widows. I'm talking about the widows tonight. Glory to God, you need to quit your grumbling and a mumbling and fault finding and do something for God. And some of you men spend all your time feeding your belly and all the time mumbling, grumbling. Boy, I got some people around here, I tell you, they're on their toes. I can say something here and they'll get a letter over yonder in Olive Branch over yonder to a Carolinas or somewhere. They get it over in a flash. Gossiping, long-tongued, backbiting devils is what they are. Sitting in the midst of God's people, waiting for the opportunity to do something undermining. Set here to spy out the liberties of the sons of God. Devils and demons. Oh, glory to God. I love Jesus, don't you? Hallelujah. But why don't we do something for God? Why don't we love God? You women, you wear the wrong dressing. You go moping around like, oh my. Whew. What a sacrifice. I can't show my knees. My, how horrible. How horrible, how horrible. The lust devil. If you had one bit of God within you, nobody would have to tell you to cover up your knees and cover up your legs. My, what a sacrifice. You've got to cover up your flesh. Somebody said, well, I don't mind it. I guess it's all right. Would you sew that little bit tighter, sister? Somebody say, I love Jesus. I don't mind these long dresses. I wish I could get this thing to fit better. Some of you sissy boys walking around in your pants, you can't even hardly get them on your legs. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Glory to God, you just got to show that old Mr. America, Mr. Universe, not need whatever you want to call it. Corruptible flesh, Paul called it. You just got to show it. Let everybody see it, Mr. Universe. Publish it in the full gospel magazines. Because one day they'll put you in a hole and the worms will eat you. And that pretty body of yours will be a mushy, messy, smell rotten. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I'm talking about God's good old way. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, don't you know that's kind of insulting? I guess it kind of is. I guess it'd be kind of insulting to the full gospel businessman. It was when I preached in Anaheim, California, and God said to me, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. And we preached there and they fell down on their face and began to cry before God. I tell you, God's going to plow their fields. Folks, this is the day of reckoning. This is the day of God's judgment. This is the day of the coming out. God's fixing to bring the church together. You're going to have to get right with God. It's time for us to get ready for the translation. God's fixing to take the people out of here. Somebody said, but I don't like the way you talk, Brother Pike. It annoys me. Oh, brother, when God puts you in hell, it's really going to annoy you. When those flames begin to burn that old flesh of yours that you never have let have any inconvenience. When you begin to feel the pains of suffering. Somebody said, but old Brother Pike, you just don't know how much I suffered. You ain't never suffered. Glory to God, there ain't nobody in here ever suffered. You wait till you start suffering. Like the early church when it went through the dark age and they pulled their fingernails out. Tied cats to their belly and let them scratch their guts out. When they gouged their eyes out, pulled their tongues out, nailed it to the floor. Put them in the things that closed up on them where Daniel said, I saw this beast. His great iron teeth. Put them in these iron maidens. Stand there and fill with nails and let them close in on. Oh, you say you suffer. The only thing you ever suffer is that old. You just get upset because somebody says something about you. The only thing you ever suffer is trying to hold that old warped up temper of yours. That old warped up feelings. Oh, somebody hurt me and somebody hurt my daughter and somebody hurt my son. And I just don't think it to you, hypocrite. Always mumbling and grumbling. Always mumbling and grumbling. somebody say, "Well, I'm concerned," you're lying, you're not concerned. If you're concerned, you do something about it. You know what it is, you mumbling and grumbling because you're not concerned and you don't want to have to do it, so you wish somebody else to do it. Somebody say, "I love Jesus." Oh, I love you tonight, folks. You say, "Well, Brother Pike, your show don't talk like it," but I do. I do. When my daddy used to pop me with the belt, he said, "I love you, son." I say, "Glory to God." It don't feel like it. You know, it don't feel like it. Amen. Ricky used to get down on his knees when he found out nothing else wouldn't work, and he'd say, "Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus." He got away with that for a while. That's right. It tear me all to pieces, and I just quit beating. I said, "God, I can't do that." God said, "Spare the rod and spoil the child." And when he got down after that, he pulled a few pranks. He said, "Oh, Jesus." I said, "Oh, Jesus, I'm doing just what you said, Jesus." And me and Rick squared away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God will square away with you, friend. I'll guarantee you he'll do it. You keep on and keep on and keep on, and God will square away with you. Hallelujah. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? Somebody said, "Now, Brother Pike, you don't believe the Holy Ghost could be around here? You're talking like that." I believe he is. I feel him. I feel him. Hallelujah. I feel him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you something, folks. If we'll get up with God, wake up in the early morning before the daybreak, before the sun ever comes up on the horizon, or in the morning there, the dawning, you know, before it ever comes up, ease up. You know, you get out of bed and the devil say, "Boy, you tired." Whew. You ever done that? You know, it comes morning, you wake up, you all woke up, and some say, "Why don't you get up, son, pray a little bit?" No, it couldn't be God. He knows I'm tired. You ever done that? Yeah, and you lay that down, you turn over, you know, and you close your eyes, and you roll, and you tumble, and you roll, and you tumble, till you know, you wake up, your wife says, "I wish you'd go to sleep or do something." You roll, you tumble, and say, "I know the Lord ain't wanting me to get up, but you can't go back to sleep." So I say, "Well, I will get up for just a minute and stretch, you know, maybe get me a drink of water." And then you get up, and after you get up, say, "I'm going back to bed." You're starting there and something said, "Don't you want to pray just a little bit?" Your steps will get a little bit slow, you know, and you get in a van of decisions. You say, "Well, I will run there and say a few words." And then you'll go, you know, and you'll fall down on your knees. You get out on your knees, you know, and you're going to say a few words. And you sit down there and after a while, you're hard and fast asleep. Somebody say, "I love Jesus." Gone to sleep on God. Gone to sleep on the job. Well, y'all might not tell this. I guess it'd be all right. But then he told me on the security job that was the only thing that bothered him about division. He said sometime I'd come to the door and he'd be asleep. Said he'd jump up like he was really on the job. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing it is to be a child of God. Don't you love him tonight? Said, "Oh, Brother Pike, you just get beside yourself. You get all excited over nothing." But oh, I tell you what, folks, there's something. It's not nothing. It's something. It's something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus tonight? God wants to do something here at Little Bethlehem. You've got something, folks. I told you this morning. You've got something. What are we going to do with it? Are we just going to sit half-hearted? Can't drag up out of the bed? Can't pray at night? Can't come to church? Get here maybe an hour late, 2 hours late, maybe not get here at all when we go to the men's meeting, maybe an hour late, half an hour late, no concern whatsoever. Get in here and talk like David said tonight, get down there to the men's meeting and talk, just go on, no concern, get up, we got to walk to the restroom, we got to walk to the fellowship room, we got to go up and we got to go down, and we got to bounce the baby and bump the baby and shake the baby and do the baby anyway to get the baby to cry so we can get up and go with him because we're miserable. The preacher's preaching and the power of God's beginning to move and the fire begin to burn under your feet and you say, "Oh my God, won't this baby cry? Won't he do something?" And you keep on till the four little fella, he's so miserable, he don't know what to do. You make the daddy miserable, the baby miserable. And if the fire gets to burn under the daddy's feet, he makes the mama miserable and the baby miserable. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And then you make the preacher miserable. And he gets to preaching where he don't care if all of you get up and leave. You done got him so miserable he don't care anymore. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Then you get God upset and God don't care if he just wiped the whole thing clean. Start all over. Said Moses, just get out of the way. I'll wipe the whole thing clean and start all over. Said it repented to me that I made man anyway. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Somebody say, well, don't you know God was so proud he made me and he looked down on me and he saw what I was and he'd been so happy about it. The Bible said he made me and you both. All of us took a look down there and turned away and said, so as that to say, oh my, what have I done? It repented me of my heart, he said, because I made you. Never knowing you're so wretched, so mean, contrary, careless, and unconcerned. Don't love nobody, don't care about nobody. Coming down the road today, while I was driving down the road, now I know the baby's crying. Somebody said, so you done preached too long, it's time to go home. If you'd stop while I go, the baby wouldn't have cried. Well, if he had cried, he'd probably cried at home. Every time the baby cries, that don't mean God's through. Paul preached all night long. The man was taken up dead. He still didn't feel like the Spirit had lifted. Well, if we had somebody to drop dead, somebody said, boy, that preacher, he's real overdone now. He's kept here till he killed somebody. Peter preached, so a couple of them dropped dead. They didn't stop the ceremony nor the service. Just had a funeral and went on with the work of the Lord. You love Jesus? I'm going to say something here, but I'll have to pick it back up and find out where I was. God is wanting to do something here at Bethlehem. He's trying to get me and you in shape to do it. God is a spirit. God has to move through us. You know, I said this the other night, and I want to say it here tonight. I said something about some prophecy the other night. I wasn't coming against the prophecy. I have my people here. I'm trying to teach them the spiritual gifts. First, I tried to teach them how to be born again. Get them born again. Tried to teach them the Spirit of God, how to love one another, how to live a life of holiness, where there wouldn't be a bunch of hypocrites up prophesying. And now that I got them kind of level off, I'm trying to teach them the gifts of the Spirit. I wasn't coming against anybody. But the Spirit of God was moving. He was trying to get some people to the altar. You can't prophesy people into the altar. Honey's listening to me tonight. You can't prophesy and make people come to the altar. God draws people to the altar. You can't scare people and make them come to the altar. God doesn't work like that. So then what was God doing? He was trying his best to speak. But things got out of order. People felt the moving of the Spirit. When they felt the moving of the Spirit, and then I got up and said something, they just, like taking a car out of gear, they wouldn't go backwards nor forward. They didn't want to do anything wrong. So they just began to kind of idle, sat still. The Spirit of God lifted. I thought, Lord, here I am with the whole church on my hand. The Spirit of God's lifted, so to speak. Now here we are right in the middle of, we're not doing anything. What am I going to do? And then I began to talk a little bit. Talk about Jesus and the Word. Somebody began to take a little confidence, take hold, and here comes the Spirit of God down again. I felt it go all over the body again. Now, but you say, Brother Pike, why did you say what you said? Because listen, folks, you may get up and prophesy, and the Spirit of God may be upon you, but you still may be out of order. I might have said, now, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me if the Spirit of God's on me, I'm out of order? I didn't say the Spirit of God was out of order. I said, you was out of order. You said, well, how are you going to prove a statement like that? The Bible said, if somebody speaks in tongues and there's no interpreter there, let him speak to himself in God. Which means speak under a low voice, worship God in spirit, go right on speaking in tongues. Forbid not to speak with tongues. Let him go right on having a good time in God. So he may have the Spirit of God on him, but if he jumps up, don't speak to himself in God. He's out of order. So then a person prophesying the same way. The Bible said if the prophet is there, let the woman keep silent. Let the prophet speak. Let him speak two or three at the most. Not four or five speak, just two or three speak. You say, but Brother Pike, don't you believe it's God when four or five speaks? It's still God's Spirit on you. But it's out of order for you. I said, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me God's Spirit's out of order? The Bible said the Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. If any man think himself to be spiritual, Paul said, let him acknowledge that the things I say unto you are the commandments of God. You say, but now, Brother Pike, what makes you think you've got the right to call the order? Well, the Holy Ghost is the one that leads the order of the church. You know, there's a little thing going through the land. It's been that way for years. We don't need nobody to teach us. The Holy Ghost will teach us. He'll set everything in order. Let the Spirit lead the service. Let me tell you something, Christian friend. If God didn't have a need for a preacher, He wouldn't have sent a preacher. If God never had a need for a fivefold ministry, He wouldn't have put a fivefold ministry in the church. Do you believe that? God has room for leaders. He put a fivefold ministry in the church. It's not the Holy Ghost's place to do what the minister does. The minister's got no business trying to do what the Holy Ghost is supposed to do, because he can't do it. And the Holy Ghost isn't going to do what the preacher's supposed to do. Angels didn't even do it. Angels won't even come down here and preach the gospel. Did you know that? When the angel come down to Cornelius' house, you know what he said? Cornelius fasting, got in touch with God, has served God so much he become a memorial to God, went up into the presence of God. Are you listening? And the angel of the living God came down in this world, stood there before Cornelius and said, Cornelius, I am an angel sent from the presence of God. You have prayed so much and you fasted so much and you give to the poor so much, Cornelius, that it come up into heaven as a memorial before God. God sent me down here to talk with you. Said, Cornelius, I'll tell you what to do. Over yonder at the tanner's house, there's one called Peter. Old Simon, send over there and get him. I've given him a message to tell you. He'll tell you what you ought to do. He didn't come over and said, I'll tell you what to do. Angels don't preach the gospel. Jumped on me down yonder at that meeting. They said, don't you believe? I said, yeah. Believe what? Don't you believe that Brother Branham was a seventh angel? Angels don't preach the gospel. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Well, we had a little difference. Listen, folks. Angels are ministering spirits to them and for them that are heirs of salvation. When Jesus had fasted so long in the wilderness and was weary, couldn't hold up his head, tired, the angels of God came and ministered strength unto him. They didn't come and preach him a sermon. They didn't say, now Jesus, you take a rest and we'll go do the preaching while you rest some. You understand what I'm saying? The preacher has an order. He is the man that sets the church in order. He set their beloved friend to set the order of the church. How does he know what the order of the church is? That's where the Bible comes in. The judge is set there for the order of the court. Order in the court. Judgment begins at the house of God. Isn't that right? What is the order of the court? He opens the rule book. He didn't make them. I didn't make those rules. The people made the law. You understand? The judge just enforces it. I had a chance to learn that firsthand when I said something back to the judge about the law. He informed me that he didn't make it. But he did enforce it. And he did enforce it. And it wasn't long before I heard the click. And I understood exactly what he was saying. Never had no problem with his sins. The Bible said, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way, lest at any time thine adversary deliver thee unto the judge, and the judge deliver thee unto the jailer, and the jailer cast thee in prison, and ye shall not come out till ye have paid the uttermost farthing. And when you hear the heagle click, you won't have no more trouble with it. You'll understand from then on. Some of you are in prison tonight. Some of you are serving prison sentences tonight. Some of you are sick in body. Some of you got devils harassing your mind. Some of you got lust spirits about to drive you crazy. Some of you just on your trail all the time. Nervousness, problems. Can't get along with the wife. Can't get along with the children. Can't get along with the creditors. Can't make enough money to pay your bills. All the time problems. Because you're in prison. The judge has delivered thee to the jailer. He kept trying to tell you. He kept putting you on probation. Kept trying to get along with you. But you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't listen. And now you're in prison. But Jesus said, Father, I thank you that thou hast sent me, anointed me with the Holy Ghost, that I might open the doors to the prisoners, preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Friend, there's a new day here. We're standing here tonight to open the doors to the prisons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've been in prison. Hallelujah. But God has had mercy on you. And the coming of the Lord is at hand. He'll serve these sentences. But if you'll straighten up, if you'll do right, God will let you out. God will help you. Because a new day is dawning. He hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't want to see you suffer. He doesn't like to see men and women behind prison bars. But what are you going to do with the wild animal? You've got to pin him up. If you can train him, domestic animals are all right. If you can train him. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, can you train a lion? You certainly can. Make him give you a paw. Make him sit down. Make him say meow, almost like a cat. If God can train you. He don't have to put you in a cage. But if he can't train you, then he's going to have to put the whip to your back. Put you in a cage. Maybe shoot you. Get rid of you. You understand what I'm saying? And I said, Brother Pike, ain't you through? No, not quite. I said, well, I'm through. Well, I ain't quite through. So you got through before I did, so you just have to start over. Now, what is it? It's the order of the church, friend. It's the order of the church. They crossed me on church order down yonder. They brought that up. Talking about having to go to the back room and prophesy and speak in tongues. And then come out and tell the church. I said, brethren, Brother Branham had more sense than to try to put the Holy Ghost in a corner. I said, don't you know he was a greater man of God than that? I said, don't you know a man of God like that wouldn't try to put the Holy Ghost in the back room? I said, well, the problem was he had a bunch of babies getting in his hair, playing around. And I let him know it was just like some of them was doing there, causing problems. I said, and Brother Branham put him in the back room to try to get together to get something made sense and then come out and tell the public about it. God put the gifts in the church. He didn't put the church in the back room. While they're not going to bring any such church orders that, God ain't done nothing like that. You mean to tell me that God give a gift to a man and then told him to get in the back room? If that's true, why didn't Brother Branham get in the back room? What difference was his gift and my gift and your gift and their gifts? God didn't say he set a Brother Pike in the church and a Brother Branham in the church. He said he set the gifts in the church. Didn't he say he set Brother Jameson and Brother Pike and Brother Taylor? Said he set the fivefold ministry. Glory to God, you can't put the Holy Ghost in a back room. Amen. Say, go back there and prophesy. What kind of ignorant thing would that be? Brother Branham had more sense than that. Looked like his followers would give him more credit for that. Looked like they'd more credit than something like that. They'd have more understanding than that kind of thing. Blind leaders of the blind, strain their net and swallow a camel. All of them fall in the ditch. Because they don't have a love for the Word of God, which is truth. Somebody say amen. What is the minister there for? The minister's there, beloved friend, to set the church in order. How can he set the church in order? According to the Word. What did the Word say? Let two or three prophesy at the most, and that by course, which means one at a time. That's the order. But when the Holy Ghost comes down, the great, lovely Spirit of God falls on you, if you have a gift of prophecy, you're going to feel like prophesying. If you have a gift of healing, you're going to feel like doing something to pray for somebody. If you have a gift of miracles, you want to pray for somebody. Do something for somebody. If you've got a gift of tongues, you want to speak in tongues. If you've got a gift of discernment, it'll go into action discerning. If you've got a gift of wisdom, it'll go into action and you'll begin to get the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, if you have the gift of knowledge. He said, but Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that that happens to everybody? The same Holy Ghost. The Bible said one Spirit, many operations. The rain on the just and the unjust. I eat beans and bread. Eat cake and drink Coca-Cola. It makes me shout, jump, holler, praise God. Another man eats beans, bread, drinks Coke, eats cake. It makes him go down to the beer joint and turn up the whiskey bottle. Holler and scream at a football game. According to your gift. According to your calling. You understand what I'm saying? That same lovely, precious Holy Ghost is in the church. Coming down, beloved friend, on you. And that one Spirit, many operations, whatever the operation of your body is, that's what God will do with you. But it's my job as a minister to set you in order, keep you in order, tell you the Bible way, put everything according to the working of the Word of God. Let everything be done decently, everything be done in order. What is decency? What is order? The Word of God. If we do it according to the Word of God, it's decent. If we do it according to the Word of God, it's in order. If we don't do it according to the Word of God, I don't care how spiritual you are. Paul said, let you acknowledge that these things I write unto you are the commandments of God. He said, if any man think himself to be spiritual, let him acknowledge that I tell you the commandments of God. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. No man is so spiritual, but he can sidestep the things of God and sidestep the ways of God and sidestep the goodness of God. No man's got a calling, but he can do any way he wants to. And let me tell you this, friend. The woman perspective of it is over. America's been closed out. The woman nation is gone. The male factor is coming in. The male part of it is coming in. The husband is coming in. The church is dancing, hollering, screaming, and had her way long enough. Christ is coming in. The Word is coming in. The order of the house is coming in. The kids have screamed and turned somersaults till Daddy's tired of it. And Daddy said, let's get down to business. I've come home. I've been working all day. I'm going to take a belt and turn you a few loop-de-loops. Now, Junior, you get over in the corner and sit down and be quiet. Somebody say amen. Amen. And Mama, you quit your foolishness now. I'm tired of it. I've heard it and heard it, and you mumble and grumble and pull my ear and kick me. Done this and that. Now, sit down and shut up. He said, Brother Pike, you mean folks talk to one another like that? I'm afraid to do. If I ask everybody that didn't talk to their companion and children like that to raise a hand, I'm afraid we'd have a handless raising. Oh, somebody said, I raised my hand. You would, you hypocrite, because you'd lie about it. I'm talking about real folks. Now then, somebody said, me and my companion live together. We ain't never had a fuss. You didn't have to have one, because the time you married, you was in a fuss. From the time you married, the Bible said if you marry, you'll have trouble in the flesh. You had trouble from the time you married up until now. It ain't been nothing but a fuss. Some folks is hypocritical. You know, some folks will say to their wives, say, would you please give me a cup of water? Somebody say, honey, would you give me a cup of water? I don't want to raise my voice at you. You hypocrite. So quiet and sweet. A snake in the grass. You say, well, Brother Pike, do you believe you ought to be boisterous and loud? I certainly don't. But I don't believe you ought to lay over there like silence, just like an old snake in the grass either. You're not doing nothing but just lick out your tongue till you get a chance to bite. I'd hate Brother Rattler to be over there. At least I can tell he's around. If his tongue is rattling a little bit, I can tell what's going on and get out of his way. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So then there is the order in the church, people. I'm bringing it down to your level where you can understand what I'm saying. Down to the streets you live on. There is an order in the church. Are we going to follow the order of the church? Are we so spiritual that we don't have to obey the word of God? The end of the woman thing is here. America's finished. The church world is over. It's time for God and the sonship to marry her, to bring her in, to present her to her husband, get her ready. That means the flesh has got to be quiet. The flesh is the woman. That flesh has got to be quiet now. It's done hollered, jumped, skipped to Maloo and turned flips and grumbled and mumbled and always backbiting, always saying, well, so and so and so and so and tongue lashing and division and everything else. It's time that the flesh stop. The woman needs to be quiet. Let the Christ on the inside live. Let Christ come into His temple. Let Christ get you under control. Shut that old woman up. Shut her up! That old outside man of yours is always running his tongue. Stop him! And you're working on a job, some of you brethren. And this one over here, he's pulling the paintbrush and he said, well, I don't know. The church says, shut up, old woman! Somebody say, I love Jesus. And Brother Pike, you don't really mean for me to do that. Yeah, I do. That's why I said it, because I mean for you to do it. When he starts pulling the brush, he says, I don't know about that. Atlee B. say, shut up, old woman! Say, are you talking to me? Say, yeah, I'm talking to you. But you know what you do? Son, I said, well, I don't know about that, Frank Taylor. I said, well, I wasn't going to say nothing about it, but since you brought it up. So what do you think about it? Well. And after a while, Brother Taylor's done run through the grind. He's chewed up. Like some of them in Olive Branch, I said, if you don't keep me out of your mouth and keep the church out of your mouth, you're going to be abhorred of God, and God's going to throw you out and reject you altogether. And brothers and sisters, He's done it. They've got into whoredom. They've got into every kind of thing. They're all mixed up and messed up because they couldn't keep the church out of their mouth saying things against it. Why is it that we want to say things against God? Why is it we want to mumble against the people of God? No, what it is, fellas, sisters in Christ, what it is, there's an order of the church. We need to do something. We need to get the flesh silent. If you have to go on a fast or whatever you have to do, get the flesh to quieten down. Let the Spirit come up. Don't walk in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. The thing of the woman preacher is over. That's why Brother Terrell's talking about the end of his ministry. And these other men, I'm going to say this right hurriedly. But I told you that there's a Judah side of it, which is the Son of God and the sons of God and the man. And then there is the evangelistic side of it, which are the tents out there, the woman in the wilderness, the 10 lost tribes and her children. That's why they lean to women preachers. But America's gone. The child's been born. Caught up to third heaven. What's going to happen to that woman? She's headed for the wilderness. She's headed for the wilderness. She don't know about revival or nothing else. All of a sudden, it's just going to become a wilderness. She's going to take off in the wilderness because God's got a place prepared for her. For a time's time and a half a time. But that Son of God, that man child, that one that's caught up, is caught up into the mind of Jesus Christ into the third heaven. I'll see you in the rapture, Joseph sang tonight. Going up, going up, going up. When I saw in a vision a whirlwind come down and caught me and picked me up, and I started up, up, up. And I got way, way, way up. I looked back and saw Mom and Dad and the wives. I said, bye. Going up, up, up. Being caught away in God. Oh, beloved friend, let me tell you something. We got to get the flesh to keep quiet. Don't be given to old women's fables. Old women's fables. That old gossiping tongue, that old flesh. Old women's fables. Don't be given to it. Exercise yourself to godliness. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's get a little bit godliness. That's what we want. We want to be godly. How do you want to be godly? Amen. Let's be godly. Let's get together and let's be godly. Let's love one another. Let's love one another. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Let's love one another. If we love one another, love is of God. I might not agree with you on everything, and you might not agree with me on everything, but you can still love me, and I can still love you. We can love one another until we do see. Stay away from evil. Quit reproaching the church. Quit doing things to degrade it and tear it down before God sets your fields on fire and takes away your happiness, future happiness. He'll take it away. Many months you'll never have it anymore. Don't be a fool. I love you. The house of the Lord is to be established in the last days. O Jerusalem, out of thee he shall come forth. Are we Jerusalem tonight? Are we God's Israel tonight? Paul said to the Israel of God, the true Israel, he called it. For he that is a Jew outward is not a Jew, but he that is a Jew inwardly. He that is of the Spirit is the true Jew. Are you a spiritual Jew tonight? Are you? You know, Brother Rich is a true Jew. He's a true Jew. He got a double potion. He's a true Jew. Are you a Jew tonight? Are you? All right, let's stand together. You know, I drank this water. Get hoarse. Get thirsty. I drank this water. The Bible said, let him that is athirst come and drink of the waters, partake of the waters of life freely. You say, Brother Pike, I would, but where can I find the waters of life? Well, there's some people around that are the wells of God. And out of their innermost being flows rivers of living water. And they're wells of salvation, and you can draw water out of those wells with joy. For the deep calleth unto the deep at the water spout of God. And we're God's water spout tonight. You ever heard that saying, he's spouting off at the mouth? It's all right to spout off at the mouth if you're God's water spout and you're spouting off living water. The thirsty can get a drink. But otherwise, you don't need to do that. I don't mean to scold you. If I sound like I'm scolding you, I don't mean to do that. But you know a hypocrite's a hypocrite. How do you agree that a hypocrite's a hypocrite? Jesus said, Pharisees and scribes, he said, you hypocrites. Is that what he called them? I mean, what else could he call them? You couldn't call a lion a dog. You couldn't call a dog a giraffe. You have to call him what he is. Somebody said he's a man. He's not a man. If he's a hypocrite, he's a hypocrite. There's a difference between a man and a hypocrite. A hypocrite's a hypocrite and a man's a man. You say, well, where are you at the difference? Because when God created Adam, he created a man. He didn't create a hypocrite. Amen. When the devil got a hold of the other one that done wrong, he took a man, he converted him into a hypocrite. He was no longer a man, he was a hypocrite. Jesus said, Pharisees and scribes, you hypocrites. Oh, but listen, there, sons of God. There's daughters of the Lord. Did you know that? Sons of God, don't that make you feel good? Now you say, Brother Pike, if I could really believe that I was a son of God, I really would feel good. Don't you really believe you're a son of God? You women, don't you believe you're daughters of the Lord? Oh, I'll pour out my spirit upon my handmaidens in that day. Don't you feel like you're daughters of the Lord? Just think tonight, if you really could believe that and feel that on the inside. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. I might say, well, I'm just not good enough to be a son of God. Well, if you're going to go by being good, I wouldn't be good enough to be a son of God either. But see, you're not a son of God because you're good. Is that right? You're good because you're a son of God. Is that right? Hallelujah. Like Bob Jones said one time, a man's not a thief because he stole a car. Stealing a car didn't make him a thief. He was a thief or he'd never stole the car. He had to be a thief before he ever stole the car. He conceived that in his heart before he ever got to the car. Isn't that right? Before he ever took the car, he conceived it in his heart. Because there has to be a conception in the heart of sin before it ever comes to reality. There got to be a conception in the heart of the love of God, of being a son and daughter of God, before it can ever be manifested in your life. So trying to do good deeds isn't going to make you a son of God or a daughter of God. But brother and sister, if you get born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll do good deeds. For a good fountain can't bring forth bad water. Bitter water and sweet water can't come forth from the same fountain, James said. Make the tree good or bad. It's known by its fruit. Either it's corrupt fruit or good fruit. A corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit. Whatever you're producing tonight, the tree is known by its fruits. For by their fruits ye shall know them.
If you're God on the inside, beloved, you'll bring forth good fruits. You'll bring forth good fruits. If you're God's fountain, you'll bring forth sweet water. Sweet water. Oh, how sweet. How lovely. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? I just feel so good. Praise God. Now, Brother Pike, you say that all the time. I guess it's because I feel that way all the time. Hallelujah. I do. I'm not lying to you. I just feel so good. Praise God. Well, what do you feel like? I don't know what I feel like. I just feel so good. As Brother Walker said, I feel good, good, good. I just feel good. You say, well, where do you feel good at? All over. Somebody said, I feel better here all over than I do anywhere else. I feel good. Oh, I feel so clean. I feel so pure. I feel so holy. I feel so righteous. Oh, yeah, you're one of them. You know, like Brother Branham saying, I'm so glad I can say that I'm one of them.
Hallelujah.
I'm one of them that's blood bought, blood washed, blood cleansed. He has cleansed me by His Word. I'm not merited anything. I'm not done anything to be good nor to feel this way. But Jesus made me feel like this. He washed me. And it is so sweet and so wonderful. It brings health and happiness to my life. It makes me feel so good. You know, I think like this. And I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. I think, oh Lord, why do I feel so good? I don't know why I feel so good. But Lord, I feel so good. Why do I feel so good? You know that little spring that bubbles? If it could talk, it couldn't tell you why it bubbles. It just bubbles. Because it likes to bubble. It don't know why it bubbles. But God made it to bubble. You know, you go through the jungle and you hear a chitter, chatter, chitter, chatter, chitter, chatter. You look up in the tree and a bunch of monkeys. It's cutting up. They don't know why they do that. They just do that because God made them to do that. You look and you see a peacock. He'll go strutting around and kicking his feathers and strutting around. And he don't know why he struts. He just struts because God made him to strut. Isn't that right? Now what if a monkey went strutting around like that? It wouldn't look right at all, would it? Because God didn't make him to strut. But He made that peacock to strut. You know why a peacock struts? He's got something to strut about. He is so pretty. And he knows he's pretty. So he struts.
Hallelujah.
You know, why does the Son of God act like he does? He don't know. He just acts like that because God made him to act like that. Why does Brother Taylor always holler hallelujah? He don't really know. He just comes out. Something bubbles and he comes out. That's what it is, folks. I said, Lord, why do I feel so good? Then I think, well, I don't know. I'm trying to find out why I feel so good. You know, but if you get overly concerned, you'll be like the centipede. You start trying to figure out which leg you move first, and after a while, you won't be able to move none of them. So I don't know. But it's one thing I do know. I feel so good. And I think, Lord, why do I feel so good? And I think, well, maybe it's because I just know I'm going to live forever. Wouldn't that make you feel good? I think, well, glory to God, I ain't never going to die. Well, I can't help but feel good when I think about it. I might say, well, I don't know. I think about it, I ain't going to never die either. I didn't say I think about it, I ain't never going to die. If I just thought about it, I wasn't ever going to die, it wouldn't make me feel good. I said, but I believe I ain't never going to die. And that makes me feel good.
Praise God.
A lot of difference in believing you ain't going to die and just thinking about you ain't going to die. I really get down in my heart. I think, glory to God, to think. Think it's all over. It's finished. Everything's done. It's taken care of at Calvary. And I made it. I said, and I say, oh, glory to God. I do. I said, oh, glory to God, I made it. Whew, I feel good. Why do I feel good? I said, because I made it. Then I just want to say hallelujah. 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 And I don't know why I want to say hallelujah, but I want to say hallelujah. So I say hallelujah. Hark the monkey chattering. God made me to say hallelujah. Praise is comely for the upright. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Let's praise the Lord. Can you praise the Lord? Let's lift our hands and praise Him for a few minutes, folks, and we're going to let you go. If you love Him tonight, praise Him. Enter into His courts with thanksgiving and praise. Praise Him tonight. Just think in your heart. and say, Jesus, I'm alive forevermore. I once was dead, but I'm alive now, Jesus. I'm alive. I ain't never going to die no more. Oh, you say, but Brother Pye, when I say that, something jumps up on the inside and said, yeah, but. So I ain't care nothing about your butts. I ain't never going to die. Settles it. When that old devil jumps up in your carnal mind, you just tell him to get out. Kick him out. Boot him out. Put him on a run. Say, I know you old carnal mind. You don't believe nothing. You always want to feed your belly. You always want to lay down and rest. You always want to gossip, find fault. I ain't got time to mess with you. I'm busy living forever. And praising God because I'm living forever. And I feel so good because I'm living forever that I got to praise God more because I'm going to live forever. And the more I think about living forever, the more I'm going to praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you praise God tonight? Do you believe you're going to live forever? Oh, friend, let's love Jesus tonight. Get it in your mind tonight that you're going to live forever. Believe God tonight. If you don't do it, you'll never make the rapture. Joseph sang, I'll see you in the rapture. Oh, glory to God. If you don't get your faith working, you won't be in a rapture. Enoch was translated by faith, beloved friend, that he should not see death. Glory to God. Can't you love him tonight and believe it? Can't you love him tonight? Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Here he comes. Hallelujah. Start saying, I love you, Jesus. And here he comes. The Bible said they talked about him on the way to Emmaus. And he appeared in their midst. Hallelujah. They said, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way and opened the scriptures to us? Oh, talk about him and here he comes. Hallelujah. Can you praise him? Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost is present. I hear him. I feel him. Hallelujah. I was a dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. I am risen from the dead. Because I live, ye also shall live. Ye shall live also. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me shall never come into condemnation. But he is passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John said, who are these? All these are they that come about a great tribulation. And the Bible said, God shall wipe all the tears from their eyes. And they shall never thirst again. The sun shall never light upon them again. God shall lead them to fountains of living water. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you feel him tonight? Glory. Glory. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. To give praises and honor. Everything in heaven, everything in the earth, everything under the earth said hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, amen. All glory, power and honor be unto the Lamb of God that liveth forever and ever. 10,000 times, 10,000 and thousands of thousands. The Bible said they praise him. And I heard 10,000 times, 10,000 and thousands of thousands saying hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory and honor. Praise be unto the Lamb of God that liveth forever and ever. And everything in heaven and everything in the earth and everything under the earth said amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Do you want to bow tonight? Do you want to confess tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To praise Jesus, to give Him glory, to give Him honor, because He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. We are His sons and daughters tonight. Oh, friend, don't you believe that you're His son tonight? Don't you believe that you're His daughter tonight? Don't you believe? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Just to believe that you're a son of God, just to believe that you're a daughter of God, makes you heir tonight to everything that God's got. Just to believe in the mercy of God. If you want anything decreed in your heart, believe it'll come to pass. Whatever you ask in my name, Jesus said, I will do it. Ask what you will. I will do it, Jesus said. I will do it, Jesus said. Ask what you will. Hallelujah. Decree a thing in your heart, it shall come to pass. Oh, tonight, if you're sick, decree it in your heart. Say, in the name of Jesus, I decree it in my heart tonight that I am healed by His stripes. I am healed tonight. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, because He said, I'm healed. If you've been in prison, if you've been bound in prison, say, God, tonight I decree it in my heart, I've got a pardon from God. Jesus signed my pardon. I can now go free. Hallelujah. For Jesus signed my pardon. He signed it at Calvary. Hallelujah. 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 Decree it in your heart tonight that you're free tonight. That you're free tonight. That you're free tonight. Break every yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. Let the captive go free. It's a new day. This is a new hour. This is a new day. God's doing a new thing. God is setting you free, friend. Oh, you've been bound in the past, but you don't have to be bound anymore. Oh, you say, but I can't believe it, Brother Pike. But remember the pardon. When the governor gave the pardon, the man said he just couldn't believe it. And he couldn't get his pardon, and he had to die because he didn't believe it. When the governor had given him a pardon. But Christ has given you a pardon tonight. He signed it with His blood. You are free tonight. You are free tonight. You are free from sin, free from sickness, free from poverty, free from death, free from trouble. God has set you free tonight. You're free tonight. You're free from harassment, free from demons, free from everything tonight. You're free, my beloved friend. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Can't you believe it tonight? Can't you believe that you're free from that sickness tonight? Can't you believe that you're free from that sickness tonight? Can't you believe that you're free from that sickness tonight? Don't you dare to believe God tonight? Don't you know that the Bible said by His stripes you're healed tonight? Can't you believe that tonight? Can't you accept God's freedom from that prison tonight? Can't you accept God's blood tonight? God's word tonight? Can't you receive it tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can't you love Him tonight? Can't you praise Him tonight? Can't you say hallelujah tonight? Can't you say glory to God tonight? Can't you say amen tonight? Jesus signed my pardon. Jesus signed my pardon. Jesus signed my pardon. I am free. Oh, glory to God. You unlocked the prison door. Let a man out of prison after being penned up. He wants to shout. He wants to run. He wants to jump. He wants to holler. Why? Because he is free. He is free. In the vision when God let me out of that entombment, I wanted to jump, I wanted to skip, I wanted to holler, I wanted to praise God. I sang a new song unto God because God has set me free. God has set you free tonight. God has set you free tonight. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's the day of the dawning. You say, but Brother Pike, do you actually believe God's doing that? My beloved friend, God told me He's doing that tonight. It's that time. I told you the truth. I always try to tell you the truth. It's that hour. Why is God setting them free? Why is God doing this thing?
because it's the day of deliverance for the church. The rapture is at hand. God's gathering his people, calling you together, letting you out of prison. It's that hour, it's that time when God's going to lift your heavy load, lift your burden, heal your body. It's that time when God's going to bring you together as a group of people. That time that God is setting you free, my friend. Hallelujah. You say, but Brother Pike, I just can't believe it. But oh, you ought to believe it tonight. You ought to believe it tonight. Say, but Brother Pike, I can't believe it. But you've got to believe it tonight. You've got to believe it tonight. Enoch was translated by faith. He received that translation by faith in God. Do you have faith in God tonight? Do you have faith in God tonight? Can't you just lift your hands up and say, Jesus, I love you tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise is comely for the upright. Hallelujah. Say, my God, thou hast set me free tonight. My God, thou hast set me free tonight. Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, I've forsaken thee, son. I have forsaken thee, son, so that I didn't have to forsake Brother Pike. I have forsaken thee so that I didn't have to forsake Brother Cartridge. I have forsaken thee that I might not have to forsake Brother David Paul. That I might not have to forsake Brother Jameson. That I might not have to forsake Brother Adley Beachy. That I might not have to forsake Brother Taylor. Glory to God. That's why I've forsaken you, Jesus. So that they can live forever. Can you claim your freedom? Jesus said, Father, I prayed for these that their faith fail not. I prayed for these, and not only these, but everyone that shall believe on them through my name, Father, and through the word of their preaching. Canst thou believe tonight? Do you dare to believe tonight? Oh, listen, friend. That's why I tell you to live holy, walk holy, do the best you can. When you do the best you can, condemnation won't get in the way. But when you do these little things, they don't seem like much. But when you get ready to go home, the condemnation stands in the way of your faith. You shouldn't have said that little word. You shouldn't have thought that thought. You shouldn't have done that thing. You understand what I'm saying? But tonight, say, Jesus, forgive me. My God, I see the light. I see the light. You said there'd be light in the evening time. I see the light. God, I'm starting all over again. For Christ's sake, get it out of my way. And I solemnly promise you, Jesus, from now on, my old wagging tongue, I'll do something about it. God, my temper, I'll do something about it. God, my greedy way of life, I'll do something about it. God, just be merciful one more time. Oh, Jesus, smile on me one more time. And Hezekiah said, just give me a little while longer. Oh, give me a little while longer. God said, Isaiah, go tell him I'll give him a little while longer. I'll give him a little while longer. Oh, tonight God's going to give you a little while longer. God's going to give you a little while longer. If thou canst believe tonight, God will give you a little while longer to praise him, to love him, to do something for him. Don't let greed get in the way. Don't let greed get in the way. Friend, give the rest of your life to God. Don't live it in the lust of the flesh. Don't live your life in the lust of the flesh. Don't go back to the evil holes of this world. Don't go back to the carnality and get caught in that same old routine day after day. But get in the Spirit of God and the mind of Christ. Get in the things of God. Get a desire for God. Get a real move of the Spirit in your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise him a minute, folks. Let's praise him a minute. Let's love him just a few minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you love him tonight? Do you feel free tonight? Do you feel God healing tonight? Do you feel God delivered tonight? Do you feel the bond broken tonight? The Bible said the anointing will break the yoke. Do you feel free tonight? Oh, beloved friend, you should feel free tonight. You should feel free tonight. You should call on the name of Jesus that you might feel free tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you love Him a little bit? Can you praise Him a little bit? Can you tell Him you love Him tonight? Oh, it's hard on the flesh, ain't it? Glory to God, when you stick them hands up like that, Jesus looks down and sees Christ hanging at Calvary, saying, lift up holy hands without wrath, without doubting. That's hard on the old flesh. The old flesh says, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. Oh, it makes me so weak to say hallelujah. Oh, it's so, I'm so tired. I think I need to rest a little while. Let that old carcass die. Let it get out of the way. Love the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do something for Jesus. Call upon the name of the Lord. All through the night, all through the dreary night, Jesus was calling. Jesus was calling. Jesus was praying. And the Bible said a great while before day rose up and prayed. And he said, Father, save Brother Pike. Father, save Brother Pike. Father, save Brother Pike. Oh, I'm so weary, but I can't quit. Father, save Brother Pike. Father, save Brother Pike. Father, save Brother Pike. I'm so weary, but I can't quit. Father, save Brother Pike. I'm so glad God saved Brother Pike. I'm glad you heard that prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, if you got a son tonight, you keep praying. You keep calling on the name Jesus. You say, God save that son. God save that son. I'm so weary. I want to go to bed. But God, you got to save that son. He might get killed. God, he might die. Something might happen to him. Oh, God save that son. God save that daughter. God save that mother. God save that loved one. God save that neighbor. God save that enemy. God save that person in church. God save him tonight. God help him tonight. God do something for him tonight. God do something. Move by your spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when the morning come, Jesus was weary, but he was still saying, God save the people of little Bethlehem. God save the people of little Bethlehem. God, let me see the people of little Bethlehem in heaven. Oh, God, let them come and see my glory on that day. I'm so glad he prayed for little Bethlehem. I'm glad Jesus prayed for little Bethlehem. Hallelujah. I want to be there on that day. I want to see the majesty in all of his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel that same quickening that raised up Jesus from the dead, don't you? I feel that same quickening that raised up Jesus from the dead, don't you? I feel that same quickening that raised up Jesus from the dead, don't you? I feel that quickening. The Bible said if it's in you, it'll raise you up as it did Jesus. Quicken your mortal body by that Spirit that dwells on the inside of you. Hallelujah. 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 Can't you love him a little bit? Can't you praise him a little bit? Can't you tell him that you love him a little bit? Can't you take a little time for Jesus? The Bible said, take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. Be ye therefore holy, for I'm holy. Be ye therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Oh God, make me a perfect man in my generation. Oh God, make me a perfect woman in my generation. Oh God, make me a perfect boy, a girl in my generation. Oh God, hear me. Oh God, hear me. Oh God, use me. Oh God, do something for me. Help me, God. Help me, God. Help me, God. Oh, beloved friend, don't you love him tonight? Don't you love him tonight? Uramandai. Uramandriandai. I feel the yoke broken, don't you? I said, I feel the yoke broken, don't you? I feel the yoke broken, don't you? I feel the yoke broken, don't you feel it tonight? The Bible said, wherever the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. I feel liberty tonight. I feel spirits getting free tonight. I feel the freedom of the Spirit tonight because I feel God doing something tonight. Don't you love him tonight? 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 Hallelujah. Don't you love him tonight? God loves you. God loves you. Can you love him? God loves you. Can you love him? Hallelujah. Make love to Jesus. Make love to Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. No one like Jesus. No one like Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you love him? Lift your hands up and let's love him a little more. Lift your hands up and let's love him a little more. Let's love him just a little more before we close. Let's love him just a little more before we close. Let's love him just a little more before we close. Can you love him just a little more? Come on, love Him just a little more. Love Him just a little more. You know the Bible said, be fervent in spirit. Be fervent in spirit tonight. Don't be half-hearted. The Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Be fervent in spirit. Be red hot. Be heated up. Be stirred tonight. Glory to God. Let the fire of God show in you tonight. Have a drive for God. Have a quickening for God. Have a strength for God. To press forward for God. Father, do something. Do something. Do something for Christ tonight. Glory to God. Don't be half-hearted. Be up and be about the Father's business tonight. Hallelujah. Be fervent in the drive for God tonight. You say, but I'm so weak, Brother Pike. But the Bible said, be strong in the power of my might tonight. Exercise that faith tonight. Brother, you'll get strength from God tonight if you'll exercise that faith. That's why you don't have any faith tonight or any strength tonight. Use your faith. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Resist that sickness. Resist that weakness. Resist that gossip. Resist that resentment. Resist that backbiting. Resist that weakness. Resist that unconcern. Resist that evil. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Love Him tonight. Praise Him tonight. Let Him have His way tonight. The song said, let Him have His way till the day is done. Hallelujah. Getting ready. Glory to God. Packing up. Getting ready to go. I'm packing up. Getting ready to go. I'm packing up. Getting ready to go. Packing up. Getting ready to go. Are you packing up? Getting ready to go. God's calling tonight. God's calling tonight. He's wanting you to pack up and get ready to go tonight. Hallelujah. For the bride hath made herself ready. 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 Without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Oh, hallelujah. 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 The bride hath made herself ready. Glory to God. She's without spot. She's without wrinkle. She's without blemish. She is a lovely thing. She hath made herself ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel His presence tonight. I feel the glory of God tonight. I feel the Spirit of God tonight. The mighty Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad He's your friend? Ain't you glad that same lovely Holy Ghost that raised up Jesus from the dead's in your heart tonight? Oh, ain't you glad? Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad? I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Let's sing that song. Let's sing that song. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory. Hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Can you sing it in? Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I was in trouble, He came and set me free. When I was in trouble, Jesus came and set me free. When I was in trouble, Jesus came and set me free. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Can you sing it? Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Do you believe Jesus lifted you tonight? I believe he did. I believe he did. Hallelujah. I feel his lifting tonight, don't you? I feel the wonderful Spirit of God. I feel the wonderful flow of Jesus tonight. Oh, how sweet. Oh, it gets sweeter each day. Sweeter each day. Beloved friend, ain't you glad you're Christian? Ain't you glad you're Christian? If you believe you're a Christian, raise your hand. If you really believe you're a Christian, raise your hand tonight. Glory to God. If you're not a Christian tonight, give your life and heart to God. Give your life and heart to God. We've got a job to do. The world is waiting tonight for a testimony. Glory to God. We've got a job to do for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to slip your hands up tonight.